Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. A hopeful 40 Days for Life message near the Planned Parenthood Abortion Center on Governor's Highway in Flossmoor, with remarks from Catherine Walker. Miss Walker is post-abortive, but now she helps organize 40 Days for Life prayer vigils by the giant Planned Parenthood in Aurora. In this edition of Spotlight, she explains how her prayers and outreach there are making a positive impact for life, as well as directing men and women toward healing and Jesus Christ.
God is good. God is good. I'm a 50s baby. I grew up in Skokie. Was raised Catholic, grew up in a nice family, very respectful, church-going, went to all Catholic schools, and everything was wonderful. And I was one of five. I was number two. Didn't go to college, but started working, and one thing led to another. I was restless and wanted to kind of get to bigger and better things and moved to the city of Chicago downtown. Got familiar with a bunch of people down there that were also doing some wonderful things, making lots of money. You know, one thing we did on the weekend is we went out and partied. We drank at the bars and we cabareted and we had fun and we did what people did that age. At the age of 29, I found myself pregnant. And if you remember 1979, the Pope came to town. And I found myself literally standing down there outside of the bishop's beautiful home on Lincoln Park, on the edges of Lincoln Park, waiting to get a glimpse of the Pope with the aftermath of abortion. So that was kind of the first of four abortions. People have said to me, how do you do a second one after a first one? I remember when Sean Carney interviewed me from 40 Days for Life and asked me that, and I said, nobody's ever asked me that question. But you know, it gets easier. It's unbelievable, it does get easier. And back then we didn't have ultrasounds. A lot of things weren't in place. And with a bunch of people who helped me along and said, you know, it's just something you take care of. It's a condition. It was a condition, and I just went in and had the abortions and never really gave it too much of a thought. Then at the age of 40, I decided that it was time to get married. So I married. Unfortunately, after 10 years of a very hard marriage with no children, I divorced. My husband and I did not land into any church relationship. We were, you know, kind of floundering. He was Catholic, as was I. We never resonated into a church, unfortunately. So was then divorced at age 50. I was led to a church for divorce recovery. And I went in there and I felt something that was really tugging at my heart, and that was the presence of the Lord. There was a lot of discussion within those discovery groups about the personal relationship with Christ, what it means to come to the knowledge of the gospel and so forth. And after that initial recovery group, I continued to stay at that church and got into Bible study and built friendships and relationships and, you know, became strong in my faith, feeling pretty good. But it was still a secret. Now, my secret was still my secret. Nobody knew. It was still something that I could not deal with fully. One week they announced at church that they're going to have a discussion on abortion. Well, let me tell you, as a post-abortive woman, you have to make that daunting decision. Am I going to go? Am I going to be involved in am I going to sit there when this comes up? How much pain can I endure? We kind of disappear on Mother's Day too, you know, because everybody's telling you, Happy Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day. And you're like, you know, I'm not a mom. So I decided to go. God obviously made it happen. So I'm sitting about four rows back. Up front sits my senior pastor, and he's interviewing a couple. And they're talking about their abortion experience. They peeled back their story, and what I saw was forgiveness, life after, and all the things that God wanted to show me in his love, his grace, and mercy. And they said, now for women who want to get prayer, you can go up to room 202, and we'll have prayer warriors up there. But let me tell you, a post-abortive woman is not going to expose herself within the population of the church and go up to room 202 because you feel like everybody's watching. You want to go under the carpet. So up front stands a woman, and she was in charge of children's ministry, and I did a lot of volunteering in Kids World. And I walked up to her, and I grabbed my arms around her neck, and I'm sobbing at this point. This is my secret. And she said something to me at that point that I don't remember, But then the discussion was, I'll take you up there for prayer. And I said, well, who's up there? She says, Jesus is up there. So she walks me up the stairs, and she handed me off to a woman who prayed a prayer over me I'll never forget. And after that, I was asked, did I want to get into a recovery group? And I said, yes, I did. So the night I walked in, and there was a variety of women in there, some I already knew that were friends that never told me. We all cried and healed together for that period of 8 or 12 weeks, I can't remember. So from that journey, from that point, I continued to move forward, and recovery takes a while. And you know, it was kind of an added suffering for me because most women had one and I had four. So there's additional injury that comes from that. You just really feel that you're at the bottom. But God was good, God was good. So I continued to heal and get into other forms of ministry at that church for the better part of 10 years. There was a time when I was sitting having a morning conversation with God, and he brought me to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And the summation of that chapter is, go and comfort others as I have comforted you. And that is when I got that knock on my shoulder with, if I don't share my story, the enemy's going to win. I'm not going to let the enemy win. So I boldly share my story because I'm always here to glorify God. So that's what this is all about. I've never felt shamed. I've never felt anything other than my humble ability to glorify God in my story, because it's all God. So, and in that class, we all shared our story. We all cried. We all healed together. And as a result of that, I've been involved in co-leading and leading many, many post-abortion recovery groups at that church and with other churches. And I've seen the most broken woman walk in the door and walk out the most healed. It's amazing. And I don't expect every woman who goes through post-abortion recovery to come out and be part of the pro-life movement. They are now then released from their pain and suffering to be better wives and moms and moved into other ministries where God chooses them to go. That is definitely the result of people, women, becoming healed from abortion, without question. Obviously, many of these women are deeply seated for 20, 30 years, some not as long. I remember having a woman in my group who was a young woman. This is a hard one. I wasn't even thinking about sharing this one. She was a young woman. She aborted twins. She was in the recovery group when she would have been delivering. And her father drove her to the clinic. Her backstory was some mental illness and so forth, but nonetheless, the loss of those children was catastrophic to all of us. But that woman's journey continued on from there, of course. You know, that just doesn't happen overnight. So one group usually doesn't do it, but it's a start. After that, I continued on with serving for pro-life and got involved with Corbella, which is in Elgin, and I became a counselor. And, you know, dealing with these women who have decided to carry their babies and walk the journey with them. And it was certainly a great next step for me. But God had a plan for more. So they were having their annual banquet, and their guest speaker was David B. Wright. And anyway, long story short, I went to the banquet, got a chance to meet David, of course, and get his story. I had no knowledge of 40 Days for Life, and he was the president of 40 Days for Life at that time. And the vision of 40 Days was casted, and God goes, you can do that. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like something I could grab onto. So I started exploring leading 40 Days for Life, and at the same time, I jumped forward and got involved with IFI and other parachurch organizations and kind of locked arms and cross-pollinated information, and we just became a very, very solid pro-life movement outside of the Aurora Planned Parenthood, where it goes head-to-head with this one in size, without question. We lose up to 400 lives per month there, which is staggering.
Catherine Walker, during a 40 Days for Life event near the Planned Parenthood on Governor's Highway in Aurora. More of her testimony after this.
Compromise on God's Word. This is Ken Ham, author of the book on death and a good God, Divine Dilemma. Yesterday we learned the idea of millions of years came from a new way of looking at rock layers that rejected the eyewitness account of history and God's Word. Now, how did the church react to this shift? Well, many scientists rejected it. They argued the Bible's history could be trusted and the catastrophe of Noah's flood made more sense of the fossil evidence than the idea of slow and gradual processes. But sadly, many other Christians simply accepted millions of years. They said it didn't matter what someone believed about the age of the earth. But their compromise? Well, it had disastrous consequences. But more on that tomorrow.
Discover answers to your questions about science and the Bible at AnswersRadio.com. Be sure to visit AnswersRadio.com.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. We're featuring remarks made by Catherine Walker during a 40 Days for Life gathering near the Planned Parenthood on Governor's Highway in Flossmoor. Ms. Walker, who is post-abortive, is a prayer and counseling leader for 40 Days for Life in Aurora.
I want to get into some stories because those are riveting. Those are absolutely riveting. What does God do with us while we're out there? You know, I mean, it's wonderful to be involved with an organization and we follow the pace, but what does God do with us? So one day during a vigil, early on, I'm out there on a Wednesday, and we do day captains, which is kind of an interesting concept where you have somebody who is consistently out there for 2 hours at a time, and they're there to greet and host the site. So for anybody who comes from our churches and independently, they're not alone. So we're really committed to that. So I'm out there one day all by myself, and a gentleman comes from one of the churches. His name is John, and he had never been out there. He didn't know Planned Parenthood from anything. He didn't know that we had a pregnancy resource center right down the road. We started talking and sharing stories, and his first child was adopted, and I'm watching the parking lot the whole time. I had never approached anybody all the years that I had been out there. I was just going out there to pray. I'm standing there and I'm watching the parking lot, and there's no sidewalk counselor out there, and I see an Uber pull up, and I see two young people get out, and they have backpacks on, and they walk in. Like within about 30 minutes, they start coming back out. Well, the Uber's gone, and they came out as far as they could on public property so I could approach, and I walked up to them. The closer I get, the younger they looked. I remember she had braces on, he was tall, and I looked at her, and I said to them, I just want you to know we're here for you, we care about you, and we're praying for you. And my eyes met her, and the next thing I said through the Holy Spirit was, you're pregnant, aren't you? And she says, yes. I said, you're scared, aren't you? And she said, yeah. I said, yeah, I know, I was too, several years ago when I walked into a clinic similar to this. But you don't have to make a decision right now. There's an organization down the road, Waterleaf. We can drive you there. You can get a little bit more information and then decide, can we take you there? They go, yeah, okay. We prayed again and they left. And about an hour or so later, I called down there and I happened to get the woman on the phone who actually dealt with this couple. And they were familiar with me, so I wasn't a stranger. And she says, well, one thing, what you said had high impact. Now, it's not what I said, it's what the Holy Spirit told me to say. He'll do the same thing for you and everybody else. And then she says to me, you should sleep well tonight. So that was just an incredible, exciting moment for us to know that God allowed us in that space to be part of that, the saving of that image of God. You probably have had the women, they drive up and say, because you're out here, my baby's in the back seat, and little Johnny's looking at you who's 6 months old. I'll never forget that moment. I was out there one time when I had a sign. This was outside of the vigil. God put it on my heart, and the sign said, I've been in your shoes, can we talk? And there's a place out in Aurora where if they make a wrong turn coming off of a main drag, they kind of segue into the parking lot of the Pregnancy Resource Center right adjacent to it. So it's a great place to stand, which is where I was standing. And it was a warm day like today, so the windows were down. And I was able to approach. I'm talking to this woman and I introduced myself. I did let her know that I understood, you know, as opposed to word of woman. And I remember her saying, I can't do this again. And I recall that she already had children and she may have already had one abortion. I can't recall one or the other, but generally we hear that. I've got young children, this is too soon, the struggle. Needless to say, I said, can I pray for you? I put my hand on her shoulder, I prayed. There were a few more exchanges. The gentleman never said anything, so I don't know what his relationship in the situation was, but she said then, well, I have to go. So with that, she pulled across the street and went into her appointment. Now, that baby was lost that day, but we know that baby's in heaven. And we know by coming out here, and what I want to leave you with is God uses everything. We don't know how, but he uses everything. So I'm going to take this a step further and say, so let's just say this woman continues on with her life, she gets a job, or she's somewhere where she's exposed to a younger woman who is having the experience of an unplanned pregnancy. They're friends. And she says, I'm pregnant, I'm going to have an abortion. And she goes, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. Don't do it. I mean, I just only wish I would have listened when that lady approached me, when I went out there and prayed for me, that I would have turned away. I have so many regrets. And that lady doesn't abort. So we don't know. We don't know how this is going to land. We just have to remain faithful and do what we do. So I went out to the vigil on Wednesday, unplanned. People were out there. The vigil leader was also sidewalk counseling. And he said, hey, I'm going to go eat my lunch. Can you step in for me? Sure, no problem. I stepped in. But a couple is leaving. And they pulled over slowly so I could talk to them, and the window was down. And the minute I looked in that car and looked at that woman, I could tell. She's coming from an abortion. I said, honey, did you just have a procedure? And she goes, yeah. I said, I'm so sorry. I said, I know, because I'm post-abortive. That certainly brought some comfort to her to know that she's talking to a woman who understands. And then I said, you know, God is with you. God cares about you. There's redemption here. There is forgiveness. And the more I spoke about God, the more she lit up. So I said, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. They said, yes. So I grabbed in and I held her hand and I prayed. And then I said, your journey is just starting of healing, but it can happen. And she already had one other abortion and she had two children. There's a story there. So I said, Teresa, I would love to be part of your healing journey. Would you please take my phone number? Let's stay in touch. And I said, I just so want to be part of this. I just felt so compelled to enter into her world of her current hurt. And so anyway, I'm doing my thing. And this is kind of my approach. This is what I say. Hi, my name is Catherine. I'm a woman's advocate. I'm here because I care about you. Can I talk to you? There's some options across the street that you might want to take advantage of before you make a final decision. Can I share this with you? I want to be approachable. I mean, that's, and I think the woman's advocate thing came to me one day and it was like, it really works, okay? But you have to project your voice when you say these things because we're restricted as to the distance. So unfortunately, I can't say, hi, honey, I'm a woman's advocate and so forth and I'm down the line. But you got to kind of scream it a little bit. Whatever God wants is what's going to happen. There's always people that we're praying for. But in closing here, the things that I want to end with is, we need to expand ourselves, obviously. We always come out here like, oh, why aren't there more people? You know what? The right people are here. But I challenge myself even. Just bring some one person. Because if there's 10 people here, if we all bring one, there's 20. It just is a normal multiplication. I came out to Planned Parenthood for the first time through an invitation. That was someplace I wasn't going to go, but an invitation brought me out. So invite somebody. It hurts my heart to know that my healing came through my home church, which I'm forever grateful. But that church now is silent on the issues in a very bad way, as I know many other churches are. So we need to be praying, obviously, and find our holes. Find our holes. And I'm hopeful. I am hopeful at all of this, is that we're going to get some openings here. I know I am. And be able to just move forward a little bit. When I go out there, I don't go out there saying, God doesn't say end abortion. I never feel that that's my job, to end abortion. My job is to be faithful and be a warrior in the army and go and try to save one life at a time, however God uses me, one life at a time. The people that drive by and give you the thumb, the people that drive by and scream and yell, I always say, you know what? That person could be on the Hill in 2 years as our biggest voice. And he becomes our biggest advocate. So I'm never discouraged when I see that. I just say, another seed planted. So, and I am grateful. I thank you. And let's charge on.
Amen.
Hey.
A testimony and challenge from Catherine Walker with 40 Days for Life during a 40 Days gathering near the Planned Parenthood along Governor's Highway in Flossmoor. Go to IllinoisFamily.org for information on the battle to protect life and for events supporting the pro-life cause. Also, make plans to attend the Illinois Family Institute's Marriage and Family Worldview Conference, Saturday, March 8th at Belmont Bible Church in Downers Grove. For more details, click events at IllinoisFamily.org. Please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute and tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.